Press TV headlines. The U.S. apologizes for its attack on a Pakistani border post while dozens of NATO supply tankers get torched across the country. American troops in Iraq resume combat missions using Iraqi uniforms and vehicles. Despite the union's threats of crippling strikes, the British coalition government set to announce major budget cuts. And a leading human rights group in Bahrain says it has growing evidence of torture in the country. It is 2200 GMT and 1:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, the U.S. has apologized to Islamabad for a recent non-UN-sanctioned NATO strike on Pakistani soil. Three Pakistani soldiers were killed last Thursday when NATO helicopters targeted a military outpost on the Afghan border. The U.S. ambassador to Islamabad has extended her government's, quote, deepest apologies to Pakistan and the families of the soldiers. Ann Patterson says a joint investigation has established that the helicopters had mistaken the Pakistani soldiers for insurgents. She has vowed more cooperation with Islamabad to prevent similar incidents in the future. Pakistan had demanded an apology over the deadly unauthorized attack, labeling it as a violation of its sovereignty. The cross-border raid has strained already tense relations between the two countries. Well, for the second time on a single day, unknown gunmen have attacked trucks carrying supplies for NATO troops in Afghanistan. Pakistani police say at least 40 oil tankers have been torched. This after militants opened fire on the NATO supply convoy in northwestern Pakistan. Earlier in the day, gunmen attacked another convoy, torching at least 25 trucks carrying fuel on the outskirts of the southwestern city of Quetta. Pakistan's pro-Taliban militants have claimed responsibility for the attack. They say the move is in retaliation for the increasing number of U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan. The attacks coincide with Islamabad's shutting of a major crossing along the border with Afghanistan in reaction to a NATO incursion into its territory. Two U.S. drone attacks have killed at least 11 people in Pakistan's northwestern tribal region. In the latest incident, an unmanned plane fired two missiles at a house, killing five people and injuring several others. Earlier, a U.S. drone fired several missiles at a house in a nearby area, killing six people. The attack started a fire in the building, and smoke can be seen from as far as a half a kilometer away. Both incidents happened in North Waziristan. The U.S. has stepped up non-UN sanctioned attacks on Pakistan. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the attacks as a violation of its sovereignty. Washington says the attacks target militants, whereas it's mostly civilians who bear the brunt. Well, U.S. troops have violated the security agreement between Baghdad and Washington again. They have resumed military operations in Iraq, but this time they are wearing Iraqi army uniforms and use the Iraqi army vehicles. Our correspondent has the details.
At the end of August, the U.S. had withdrawn all its combat forces from Iraq, leaving 50,000 what it called non-combat forces behind. According to the security agreement signed between Baghdad and Washington on December, the remaining U.S. troops should stay in their bases for only training and advising purposes, and all of them have to leave the country by the end of 2011. But the U.S. troops are now traveling across the capital without being escorted by the Iraqi forces. They are also driving around in Iraqi army vehicles and uniforms. The Iraqi government spokesperson said that the presence of the U.S. troops is not welcomed anymore.
We Iraqi people cannot accept a presence of the foreign troops on their land. It is scratching the national feeling, and that is why we've been happy that the troops is leaving, and the balance of the troops is going to diminish in the next summer.
Deputy Interior Minister also stated, according to the security agreement between Baghdad and Washington, the U.S. troops should stay in their bases and they are not allowed to move around without the permission of the Iraqi government and the escort of the Iraqi forces. He added what they are doing now is the violation of the signed agreement between the two countries.
According to the security agreement, U.S. forces have to stay in their bases and they cannot travel anywhere without the permission of the Iraqi government. Otherwise, it will be considered as a violation.
Iraqi people say they also see it as a clear violation of the agreement. They say the presence of the U.S. forces has only brought about more civilian deaths in their country. According to the civil society organizations, since the U.S. invasion of 2003, more than 655,000 Iraqis were killed. People are now calling on the Iraqi government to end the occupation and accelerate the full withdrawal of the U.S. forces from Iraq.
The American troops are still operating militarily in the country. Moreover, they are using the Iraqi army vehicles and uniforms.
Officials say the Iraqi forces have now taken security control of the country from the U.S. troops. They added that the government is also taking serious steps to build up its forces to be capable of maintaining law and order across the country.
The Iraqi people described the presence of the U.S. troops in Baghdad streets without being escorted by the Iraqi security forces as a clear violation to the bilateral agreement signed between the two countries. Wissam Albati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
On to some other news now. The U.S. peace activists accused of backing terrorist groups have refused to appear before a Chicago grand jury. Here's more on that.
People stood by and watched.
U.S. authorities say they're investigating a dozen of anti-war activists for what they call providing material support to terrorist organizations. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, known as PFLP, as well as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, are among such organizations. The activists strongly deny the allegations and say they are being punished for their criticism of the U.S. foreign policy. The Minneapolis anti-war activists had been ordered to appear before a Chicago grand jury. But they say they have done nothing wrong and see no reason to appear before the jury.
No one's going to be cooperating with the grand jury. We've done nothing wrong. We're organizing against the wars that the United States is waging, and we're in solidarity with people who are oppressed in other countries.
An investigating jury is a secret judicial proceeding where defendants are denied any legal assistance. If the defendants refuse to testify against themselves and their colleagues, they may be put behind bars for some 6 months or more. Back in September, FBI agents raided the peace activists' homes in Chicago and Minneapolis and confiscated their computers, cell phones, and documents. This, as the activists have not been charged with committing a crime. The raids received scant coverage by the U.S. media, but sparked condemnation from other peace activists. Many see the recent crackdown as part of FBI attempts to justify the massive taxpayer money they receive under the pretext of fighting terrorism.
The material support for terrorism law is an outrageous abuse of our civil liberties. The federal government has used the war on terror as a justification for giving themselves more and more powers at our expense.
But some others see them as part of Washington's attempts to suppress political dissent.
It is intended to suppress dissent. The U.S. government is not opposed to terrorism. I think that's the thing that we have to be very clear about. It has supported and continues to support terrorist organizations, including those based in South Florida that carry out terrorist attacks against Cuba. They supported the Nicaragua Contras. They've supported regimes around the world which engage in terrorism and repression against their own population.
Now, the British Prime Minister David Cameron has given a resounding speech to his party faithful, calling on all to pull together for the sake of the nation. This during his first annual party conference since getting elected. Press TV's Farin Alam now reports from London.
This is Cameron's big moment. After 13 years in the political sidelines and three failed leaders, the Conservative Party has finally come to power under his leadership, even if it is as a coalition with the Liberal Democrats. The jubilant scenes at the Conservative annual conference were marred, however, by critical news headlines over the government's decision to withdraw child benefit from higher earners from 2013.
I don't think MPs necessarily understand everything, and I'm very sure that government ministers, most of whom are very wealthy men, haven't got a clue.
But Cameron blames the Labour Party for 13 years of so-called catastrophic mismanagement of the nation's finances. Britain now has a £900 billion debt, and the Conservatives say although the cuts will be tough, they are necessary.
I know how anxious people are. Yes, they say, of course we need to cut spending. But do we have to cut now and by this much? Is there another way? I wish there was another way. I wish there was an easier way, but I have to tell you, there is no other responsible way.
Cameron's speech was light on policy, and he rarely strayed from a focus on domestic issues. A mention of Britain's military role in Afghanistan.
Almost every single terrorist who took part in 9/11 was trained by Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And if we left tomorrow, those training camps could easily come back. Why? Because the Afghans are not yet ready to take control of their security. But we will not stay a day longer than we need to. British combat forces will not remain in Afghanistan after 2015.
Just 5 months since Cameron's rise to power, the honeymoon period is still ongoing, and the details of the public spending cuts haven't been released as yet.
They are proposing massive cuts in social spending in Britain, in health, education, housing, and in benefits. The defence budget is around £30 billion per year now. The total cost of a Trident replacement is £76 billion. It is a very large sum of money. Personally, I think Britain should rethink its entire foreign policy strategy.
The real test of Cameron's premiership will come in spring next year when the spending cuts are rolled out. Already, the major unions representing several million workers are promising crippling strikes to show their discontent. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
In news out of the Middle East, there are more reports on human rights violations in Bahrain. A prominent rights group in that country is speaking of receiving reports of more injuries on detained political activists, human rights defenders, and religious leaders. The Bahrain Center for Human Rights, the BCHR, has appealed to international organizations to pursue the rising torture cases in the Arab country. The group's head is a victim himself who has been denied emergency services. On Tuesday, Human Rights Watch expressed concern about torture and lack of due process for detainees in the Persian Gulf nation. The deputy director of the group's Middle East and North Africa division, Joe Stork, called on Bahrain to uphold its human rights commitments. The call comes as Bahraini authorities continue systematic torture against Shia opposition groups. They have intensified crackdowns ahead of the upcoming parliamentary elections. More than 250 people, including several key clergymen, have been detained since mid-August. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The U.S. apologizes for its attack on a Pakistani border post while dozens of NATO supply tankers get torched across the country. American troops in Iraq resume combat missions using Iraqi uniforms and vehicles. Despite the union's threats of crippling strikes, the British coalition government set to announce major budget cuts. A leading human rights group in Bahrain says it has growing evidence of torture in the country.